You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have you with us on this week's edition of the podcast, taking a look at a couple of events. Got the traditional Thursday start time for the European Tour event this week, the Made in Denmark, and the PGA Tour event starting a day later than usual, the Dell Technology Championship. That gets underway on Friday and will conclude on Labour Day in the States. Sam Norris here in for DK this week, but Dave Tindall joins me in the studio. How are you, Dave?
I'm good, thanks, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all. Got to start this week, Dave, by talking Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. The match is on. 18 holes at Shadow Creek, Las Vegas, Thanksgiving weekend, $9 million on the line, winner takes all. It comes at a quiet time of the year for golf with, I suppose, a potentially huge audience watching over Thanksgiving weekend. Excited? Indifferent?
I don't know. I really struggle with how, what it was, what it is to begin with, because it's like, had it happened 15 years ago when they were world's number one and two? Now they're world's number whatever. And I don't know. It's not like it's, say like boxing. Often it's a fight you want to see, isn't it? It's a fight you want to see. You've got two guys and everyone's talking about, well, I've seen them play together. And it doesn't mean anything. Whoever wins, I don't know. I just can't quite get what's the point of it.
Yeah.
But then, and I even did a, when it was announced, I even did a kind of poll on Twitter to sort of see whether it was just me being a bit sort of grumpy about it. But it was a fair few in my camp. But others were telling me, oh, it'll get more viewers than, you know, your regular. And I'm sure it will.
It will,
because they are still the names. And I sometimes talk to people who have a very passing interest in golf and they would know those two.
Yes,
and I say
yes.
Someone I think's well known now and never heard of them.
Right, okay.
So it's still sort of Tiger, isn't it? Tiger dominates. And
yeah.
And Phil, but yeah, I'm, I don't know. What do you think? Are you sort of?
I'm inclined to agree with you.
I don't know
I want to be excited, though.
Right. Yeah.
I want to.
Right.
You know, I want to enjoy it. I think if there was some bad blood there, I think that would make it better for me.
Well, there's another reason there was in the past.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they were better in the past.
Yeah.
And now it's sort of two sort of mates having a round of golf.
Yeah. Exactly. Two multimillionaires playing for.
More.
A reasonable sum for those two, but
it's not like
it's like you and me having a round for 20 quid or
exactly.
Something like that.
They need to put their like houses on the line or something. I don't know, but
are they putting up the money or is the money being put up by the sponsor as well? I think I'd like it better if they were putting up the money as well.
Yeah, but then how much would you need to go for, like 100 million? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's got to.
But yeah. I want to be excited about it, but
I like
I'm not.
Yeah, exactly. It needs to have some context, like the last nine of a major, then it would be. Just sort of two players going at it on a contrived, I don't know what it means. Anyway.
Yeah, that's all to come.
But we've got prices on it, haven't we?
Yes, we do.
And not surprisingly, Tiger is favourite.
Yeah.
I mean, you could only really back Mickelson, I think.
Yeah, because Tiger's not.
Yeah.
Not
I suppose
value.
Hopefully on the night we'll be hole by hole maybe, but Tiger, was it 8-13? Was he?
Anyway, our tournament match bets. I think they've taken the betting down at the moment actually.
Okay,
but we were betting on it and Tiger was the odds on favourite.
Yeah. Mickelson might be 6-5.
Yes.
So if I was having a bet on it, I'd probably play that, but maybe hole by hole would be more exciting.
Yeah. Betting just momentarily taken off the website as we record this, but it is definitely there.
It will come back.
Yeah, maybe they're just making some slight adjustments.
Inside word or something.
Indeed. That's all to come in November. Let's reflect on last week's two tournaments, though, starting on the PGA Tour with Bryson DeChambeau winning his third PGA Tour event over the weekend at the Northern Trust. Four shots clear of Tony Finau. Hit 16 greens on Sunday and only made 6 bogeys all week. We know that he's got his own unique approach to the game, described as the golfing scientist. I quite like his approach toward it, and it's yielding results.
Yeah, whatever it takes to sort of get there, you could say sometimes he might overcomplicate it or something, but I think it's just being you're kind of comfortable with the method you're going down, and that's his way. He likes to be analytical about it and try things. And if he was just like everyone else, I don't think he'd be half the player. So,
Like
Padraig Harrington had to keep tinkering because it's almost like a shark. Unless it keeps moving forward, it sort of dies.
Stagnates,
So Harrington won 3 majors, and then why are you trying to change now? You've sort of got to keep that process going, otherwise you just sort of, as you say, stagnate. So he loves to sort of take that approach, and I think he quite sort of, you know, loves the fact that...
He relishes everything that goes with it, doesn't
all
he?
The sort of press the conference mystique, questions he gets and he can answer. He just likes that way to, you know, it's a nice sort of way to get his ideas across, and what better way than winning tournaments? So it clearly is working for him, and that's, as you say, 3 wins, 2 this year.
Mm.
And almost certainly now he's on the Ryder Cup team as well.
Yes. He also joined a very exclusive club with that victory over the weekend. And this is something that I've pinched off Twitter, thanks to Sean Martin. Becoming just the 4th player to win an NCAA championship, US amateur, and at least 3 PGA Tour events before his 25th birthday. The other members of that club, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson and Jack Nicklaus. So he's
not
in
a bad company.
He's in reasonably good company there.
Yeah.
It's quite a specific group, that, to be fair, to have won those tournaments plus 3. But only the 4th man to do it. But that isn't a stat that I've dug up myself. Shout out Sean Martin
impressive.
From Twitter.
But I guess it's the age that's kind of impressive. I mean, other players might do it at some point. But for him to do that by that age, very impressive.
Meanwhile, in Europe, we touched briefly there on Padraig Harrington, who was in contention at the Czech Masters, but it eventually went the way of the Italian Andrea Pavan, who finished 22 under par to beat Padraig Harrington by a couple of shots. It was a maiden win on tour for Pavan, and he didn't saunter to victory either. Had to come from behind on the final day to get the better of Padraig Harrington, who was looking for win number 16 on the European Tour. He actually spent most of the Sunday in front, Harrington, a bogey on 15, and Pavan finished with 3 birdies in the last 5 holes to win by 2 strokes. That's the way to win it.
Absolutely, yeah. It kind of laid down a few markers. If you looked beneath his actual results, some of his iron play was excellent, so Pavan was certainly trending in the right direction, as they say. Harrington's a strange sort of fish because he can be out of form terribly, but as soon as he gets in contention, all these memories come back, and he almost needs that adrenaline. If he's dawdling around in 45th, then he'll probably miss the cut. But if he's up there, you know, near the... he did falter, but right at the very end. And he kind of knew once he'd hit the front at some point early on, he's probably going to stay there. But he just doesn't do it very often. So he often, you know, he goes off at big prices still.
You can understand that mentality, I suppose. The desire to not so much throw the towel in as such, but... If you're not in contention, it must be hard to steel yourself for the next hole.
Having kind of like flown near the sun, it's like where...
Yes, exactly, yeah.
How are you getting up for... We saw it. David Duval had this brilliant career, then just absolutely went gone at the game. And then a couple of times he got in contention, once at Pebble, once in the US Open, from absolutely nowhere. And he stayed and he battled it out right to the end. And it's just tapping into those past feelings that these great champions have.
Yeah. But anyway, a maiden victory on tour for Pavan. That was last week. On to this week's events. We'll start on the European Tour with the maiden Denmark. This gets underway on Thursday and it heads to a new course for 2018. And it goes to the Silkeborg Rye Golf Club, which plays to a par of 72, measuring in at 6,975 yards. So a fairly short course. This week represents the final opportunity for any budding Ryder Cup hopefuls to qualify automatically for Thomas Bjorn's team. And there's a nice symmetry to the event this week, given that it's Thomas Bjorn's hometown track. But it's his countryman that tops the betting, Thorbjørn Olsen, at 8-1. Obviously in good form and will be the hometown favourite. Thomas Peters is 11-1, Matt Fitzpatrick, 14s, Eddie Pepperell, 20-1, Danny Willett, 28s, 33-1, and bigger prices for the rest of them. Lots of eyes will be on Olsen here, obviously, Dave. But if my memory is correct, we did the podcast this time last year. And I recall you tipping one Julian Suri to win the event at 50-1.
Oh, yeah.
Have you got any similar such gems for us this year? And I think I'm right in thinking as well, we had the conversation, you were intrigued that an American was playing this event. And then he won at 50-1.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, this golf game's easy. Just look for the Americans playing in Europe.
Yeah, it's not a bad strategy to follow, to be honest.
So another 50-1 winner would go down very nicely, Dave. Yeah.
The problem we've got this week is, and it's kind of thrown the golf betting community into turmoil. we can't get a handle on the course.
Right.
I've been trying to rack my brains to see if I know anyone Danish, because all I've found with Google is a few videos, but in Danish.
Right. Okay.
What's he saying?
I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
And you see the odd clip of the course, and the kind of yardages are a bit askew. So we on the
I must admit I've ended up going off your Rotor World piece.
Yeah,
but in other places there were different ideas about the yardage.
Yeah. So I think it's a par 72, and I think there's four par fives which I kind of latched onto, but we don't really know whether if it's kind of a fiddly par 72, or it's a, you know, will the big hitters overpower it?
Yeah.
Or is it more for a sort of strategic player? So we're kind of flailing around in the dark.
Shrouded in mystery, isn't it?
Yeah.
this golf club.
That's why I find it difficult to put up a tip now, because we're doing this, Tuesday,
yeah,
lunchtime. Hopefully, nearer we get to the tee off time, something will emerge.
Yes.
Pictures, comments, quotes,
yeah,
correct yardages will emerge, and we'll go, oh, right, that's what we need to be doing.
Yes.
But at the moment, kind of the best angles we've got is maybe the Ryder Cup incentive, because,
yeah,
as you say, last qualifying event. Ollison is nearly there. I mean, he will be in the team because, you know, the captain is Danish, and so,
yes,
is he. And it's not just because of that. It's because he's been in fantastic
form.
Been
really good, Nick, lately.
Yeah, the last few months. So I think if he finishes top seven, he's in. But there's a few, Fitzpatrick, Eddie Pepperell, if they win and Olsen's outside the top seven, they get in automatically.
Okay.
And I think for Pepperell, there's a lot of players who are outside who are relying on wildcard picks, and it's going to be hard for somebody like Eddie Pepperell to be more convincing than an established star like,
yes,
Garcia. So he probably does have to win, but we've seen it before, players at that end. Sometimes you see players who are struggling, they've got to finish in the top 10 to get their card. And the reason they need to do that is because they haven't had a good year.
Yes, yeah.
But a guy who's on the fringes of it has clearly had a good year already, so he's playing good golf. So it's an easier thing, I think, for them to get the win kind of thing. So far from easy, but it's certainly possible. So you can tap into that idea that Eddie Pepperell, Matthew Fitzpatrick have got that massive Ryder Cup incentive, sort of that carrot dangling in front of them. Thomas Peters can't qualify automatically, but he can make a big statement to Thomas Bjorn. I mean, he's had three top tens in his last four starts. One of those in the USPGA, Thomas Peters, tied ninth last week. And, of course, he was the top scorer from either side in the last Ryder Cup. So he's got to be part of the conversation when they sit down and work out the picks. And what better way than give Thomas Bjorn a massive kind of nudge in the ribs by winning here. So, yeah, that is a quite a strong theme at the top. And if you take the kind of idea that those guys can play well on any course, and that kind of,
yeah, sure,
maybe that overcomes the little intricacies of the details of the course that we need to know. They put them anywhere this week, and you know, you'd think they're gonna have a big week.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put anyone then off the top end of the market. That's what I'm kind of coming around to saying.
Yes. 50 odds place 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 as ever on this event.
Just give us those odds again of those four. So Ollison,
Thorbjørn Ollison is 8-1. Thomas Peters is 11s. Matt Fitzpatrick 14s. Eddie Pepperell 20s.
I think I'd go Pepperell.
Yeah, just the biggest price of the four.
Yeah, that's simple. And his form sort of stacks up as well as anybody's. I mean, he was second in the Scottish Open. Top six in the Open Championship at Carnoustie, ninth at the Czech Masters last week. Well, that's three of his last four events.
Yeah.
He's made a big impression. He was fourth in this maiden Denmark back in 2014. Okay, it was on a different course, but he's had some great form this year. So I think at 20s, I put him up last week, just half a point each way at 16s.
Mm.
Only just missed out in ninth. So in this kind of similar field, really, I think I'm not quite sure why he's gone out to 20s. Given that he's given us another confirmation of his good form. So, yeah, Eddie Pepperell would be a very interesting Ryder Cup because do you follow him on Twitter? He's very
he's
very sort of lots of opinionated. Sounds like he's.
Oh, I think I have seen him be retweeted a couple of times now. You mention it,
yeah. He's just kind of he's really into it.
Yes.
He likes that social side of it. He's got plenty of thoughts. He writes a blog.
You can tell it's not run by his management company.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
it's
like
very
that.
Much pure sort of you know his thoughts and. Yeah, sometimes he's sort of crossing the line a bit here and there, but overall he's a very entertaining of the golf Twitter accounts, Eddie Pepperells. And yeah, you'd think he'd be a fascinating addition to the European side.
Indeed. That's the Made in Denmark event this week. Onto the PGA Tour event, which does start on Friday due to it being a bank holiday in the States, and it's the Delta Technologies Championship. Once again, heads to the TPC Boston. Par of 71, and the course measures in at 7,216 yards. An event that Justin Thomas won last year, and he features prominently in the betting. He's joint favourite, in fact, with Dustin Johnson. They're both 9-1. Brooks Koepka is 12-1, 14-1. Jason Day, 16s. Rory McIlroy, 18-1. Jordan Spieth and Tiger Woods, 22-1 for John Rahm, 25s and bigger for the rest of them. Justin Thomas, who won the event last year, led the field in strokes gained tee to green last year, scrambling and par four scoring on his way. Although his par three and par five scoring was a little bit substandard compared to all the other facets of his game. What kind of characteristics are you looking for in a selection this week?
Yeah, I think it's a course where you can blaze it off the tee. I think you've got width. I mean, if you look at the winners here, it's a lot of classy players who've probably done well at Augusta, where again, you've room to breathe off the tee. So that just frees them up a little bit, and then it comes down to iron play and you know, short game. So I wasn't surprised when I looked at the past list of winners here. I mean, from memory, I know a few of them were, but you go down there, oh, yeah, he's done well at Augusta.
Yeah.
So I think that is quite a good link. Maybe Thomas hasn't got the great Augusta record yet, but that'll probably come. But, yeah, so I'm going to focus on two guys who well, one of them played great at Augusta this year. One is one a kind of an all-time Masters legend as my two bets, because I think that idea that you can smash it off the tee and it's not too important where it lands, I think that's an important one.
Okay. Where do you go then?
So I'm going to kick off with John Rahm. You look at his form in the last few months. It absolutely is boom or bust, feast or famine. He's either top five or he's nowhere.
Yeah.
So last eight starts, he's got four top fives, obviously excellent for each way betting, three missed cuts, so you kind of know your fate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like that thing we said before, if he's not in contention, his head wanders.
Yeah.
And he's thinking, well, no point in being here almost. But when he is sniffing victory, then he does carry it through. So four top fives, the most recent was in the USPGA, so obviously that's a sign of some very impressive form. Also, on his debut in this event last year, he finished fourth. So he's got the current form. He's got the course form.
Yep.
I just think if you followed his prices this year, I think 22s, it's just kind of drifted a little bit.
Yeah,
it's almost saying he's just not quite the golden child that we were putting him up as early in the year.
Yeah, because when he first burst on the scene, he was nigh on unbackable because he was going off third favourite every week.
Absolutely collared him, and you know, he might have been 16s, 14s even for this.
Yeah, good shot.
But 22s, it's just become... For someone who lands the each-way cash that regularly, you know, 50% of the time in his last eight tournaments, I think, and now you've got him on a course that should suit. I mean, he was fourth at Augusta this year to show that you know, he likes a bit of room off the tee. I just think that, well, that just, to me, it just stood out as a price, that I'll take it.
Yeah, 22-1 then for John Rahm. And who's your all-time Masters legend then, Dave?
Yeah, it's Phil Mickelson.
Okay.
Has won this event before, back in 2007. And you think, well, that was a bit of a while ago.
Yeah.
He was sixth last year, so it's just a course where he always thinks he can play well. He's got a fourth there in 2012, another top 10 in 2011. And we saw him win earlier this year. It had a bit of a drought, but he came back and won the WGC event in Mexico when all the, you know, the big guns were there. So it does get, as we know with the Tiger thing, Phil loves the kind of, you know, the atmosphere, and he loves it when his adrenaline is flowing. And we got a glimpse of that last week in the Northern Trust Open. He actually hit the front early on in round two. I think he might have even gone two or three shots clear at one point. Eventually finished 15th, but he was saying all week how his game is coming round, and he thinks it's back to almost the level where he did win in Mexico. So you've got that great bank of historical course form, which makes sense because he's someone who's wild off the tee. but he's got all the other elements that you need. And just that form that's just coming in the right direction. I mean, he's dropped enough hints. He was tied 24th at Carnoustie and Firestone in big events. So it's, although it's not quite this kind of eye-catching fifths and fourths,
yeah.
I think with him it's enough. He does, a lot of his game is about timing, so I think it's slowly coming round. So if he starts timing it like he can still win this big. So I thought 50-1 on this course. If you told me back when he won in Mexico that it'd be 50-1 on this course, I went, no way at all, it'd be about 25s. Mm. So it's just one of those ones, I think, you know, he's a bit ahead of the handicapper, maybe.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And what a great warm-up for the match.
Well, yes, well, in a funny way, that could be getting his competitive juices.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
He'll be wanting to sort of, you know, bust Tiger's butt, as he would say. And so, yeah, I think that sort of feeds into it. He's got the Ryder Cup, that match with Tiger.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
He's done everything in his career, so yeah. I think he needs the sort of extra motivations. And I think this is just a sort of perfect storm. Great time to back him.
John Rahm at 22s and Phil Mickelson at 50-1. How do you stake it this week, Dave?
Yeah, I'll go a point each way, Mickelson at 50s. I'll just up it a little to 1.5 each way on John Rahm at 22s.
Good stuff. We are paying a fifth of the odds for the first six places on that event as well. And it's the same place terms for the Made in Denmark as well, which gets underway on Thursday, of course, the Dell Technologies Championship away on Friday. DK, I think we'll be making a return to the podcast next week. But thank you as ever, Dave. Pleasure as always. And enjoy it.
Yeah, cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.